Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Hey everyone, welcome back to today's show. I'm excited to share with you today someone who is my favorite guest on the planet. I haven't had him on our show yet, but I finally got him to pencil me in. I get asked a lot who my mentor is, who do I ask questions, advice to? And so today we get to hear from my husband, Danny Suliafu. So hi, honey, welcome to the show. Today he asked me, you know, what are we going to talk about? What do you want to ask me? And I said, well, I want it to just be a really organic, authentic convo. We have what we call coffee connection in the morning. And we have these great conversations that I'm like, I always think, gosh, I wish people could, you know, hear some of these conversations that we have. And so today we're just going to roll with it and see what comes up. I will start with asking you, how long have you been married now?
It'll be 16 years in November, 17 years together.
16 years. Okay. What do you feel like are some of the top things that you have learned over the 17 years together? Like, you know, I hear you ask people this question when you see that they've been together for a long time. You're like, what's your marriage advice? So why don't you kind of tell us what do you feel like is something that has helped us? And what's your advice?
How much time you got? I would say compromise, picking your battles. The list goes on and on and on, but I would just start basically with those. I mean, the compromise, you know, to compromise in a relationship is very, very important. Whenever people talk to me about their relationship, what I'm hearing from them is there's this control, 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 control is what they're saying without saying it. And it's really about working together and compromising, especially on stuff that really doesn't matter. That we can go on and on about that part, but I think everybody gets the gist of what I'm saying.
Yeah, that a lot of people won't compromise on lots of things. And a lot of it is just a waste of time because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You know, and that goes right into picking battles. You know, if you can't pick your battles in a relationship, good luck.
Yeah. That is definitely something that you and I feel like have both come a long ways on. I know in the beginning of our relationship, it was, you know, choosing those things that you want to really stand your ground on. I mean, that's important in a relationship. There are certain things that are important to really put your foot down on and to not compromise on.
Of course.
But then there's those big things that are those little things that just don't matter, which we see a lot. When we look around at other couples that we know that they're in a power struggle.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think everybody can relate to that. I think everybody has that couple or couples in your circle, or, you know, it could be even family. You know what I mean? It's you know, obviously they're coming to you for some type of help or advice. So to say, you know, sometimes I struggle with that word. Mm-hmm. Because it kind of sounds like, you know, tell me what to do. You know what I mean? But I think everybody knows what to do. I mean, they're just so blinded by whatever it is they can't compromise about or whatever their debates are that, you know, they feel that they need, that their point is so much more valuable, you know, especially, you know, certain situations don't really even matter.
Yeah. You and I feel like, of course, we are not perfect. We still have issues. We still have fights, arguments, moods, all the things, but we've come a long ways.
Yes, we have. We've gotten better.
So we often say that, you know, when you see newlywed couples, you see like they're in love. A lot of people, I feel like you and I did it very non-traditional. I think that a lot of people get together and they're in that blissful stage. And then the longer they go into their relationships, many times that newness wears off and the problems start to hit and then they go further into those problems. And I feel like you and I did it opposite. It was really hard in the beginning, even when we were dating. From like the first date, it was hard, right? We had a lot of stuff to work through. Compromise.
In your battles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, anybody's that, you know, like the blissful stage, like is what you just called it. It's great and all, right? Of course, it's the courting period, right? But like you said a word just, you know, a couple moments back, where you said the newness starts to wear off. Why is that? Ask yourself, why is that? Like when people are watching this podcast segment, why did that go away if you're at that point in your relationship or, you know, vice versa? You know, I mean, how do you maintain it, right?
What does the newness mean to you? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, it's a new relationship. It's hot. It's horny. It's freaking
exciting.
It's exploring. Passion. It's, you know, getting to know each other better.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly breaking the walls down.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the walls are all down, right? And then there's no more spark, or you feel it intuitively going away. Why is that? Why is that? Are you not communicating? Are you putting the curtain slowly back up? What is the problem? Ask yourself those questions. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Are tough conversations hard to have? You know, so keep it down by communicating, because you just get closer and closer, closer, like we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funner.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, so there's this, oh, sorry. Go ahead, honey.
No, I just said, and better.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. There's this phase, it's called the limerence phase. And that's that beginning phase.
That's the correct term for it.
Well, it's an actual thing. It's kind of, it's when you're Twitter pated, right? That Twitter pated, like, oh, it's new, it's exciting, there's passion. And most of the time couples are in that naturally in the beginning, and then it wears off and it's gone forever. But I feel like if you're doing it right, if you figure out like what you're saying, you're able to bring down those walls and communicate with each other and stay excited about each other, then you can go in and out of that limerence phase. And I feel like that with us, it's not realistic to be Twitter-pated with each other from day one forever. I mean, it's realistic to be in love, yes, but not like there's times where, you know, I'm sure you can feel it where it's like, we got a lot going on. We're not necessarily focused on just each other. We're being pulled many, many which ways in our life, times when we, you know, had just had a baby or stuff like that, where it's like, okay, our focus is on not necessarily dating right now because we've got other things going on in our life, right? But then we always find our way back to each other, and we come back in that limerence phase, and it pops back in, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is exciting. I'm in love. And I feel that passion. I feel that passion, you know, come back.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. That's just, you know, taking a moment, you know, away from, should I say, the distraction of, and distraction can mean like, you know, others, you know, like your kids, you know what I mean? And coming back together, you know, and that's really important. I think date nights are important. Do we do them all the time? Does it have to be on the schedule? No, I think it could be completely spontaneous, but you do have to remind each other how important you are to the other, at least on a weekly basis. You know, some people think that, you know, well, from what I see people talk to me about is, oh yeah, we went on a date last month. So you wait on a monthly basis, like a, you know, that I don't think that's always the best. I mean, it's great that you're doing it, but checking in on a monthly basis is not good. It should be every single day, like we do when we wake up in the morning and have coffee. That's great because it just sets your day right too. You know, the coffee connection has been great for us, and we don't have it every single day, but we pretty much have it, you know, the majority of the time during the week, and it's great. I look forward to it. You know, we kind of lay everything out on the table, you know, what's going on with your day that day, what we have to do for our children, our businesses, and then we always find time. Okay, so what are we going to do? You know what I mean? And so I understand what you mean by the limerence phase now, because I've never heard that. So sorry.
Yeah, no, it's good. But I also think that many times people think that that's what a relationship has to be, and that it has to be like that excitement all the time. And I feel like vulnerability is really important in a real true relationship, because you come together, and if you're afraid of being vulnerable, it is scary.
We shouldn't be together if you're afraid of being vulnerable.
It's hard though. And I think it's harder. Maybe I'm wrong when I say this, but I think it's sometimes even harder for men to be vulnerable.
That's what I'm saying. If you can't be vulnerable with your best friend, your wife, the person you're spending the rest of your life with, hopefully, then you have to fix it. You have to be able to show your emotions, and that can be on both sides, not just men. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of vulnerable men. I know a lot of women that aren't vulnerable. You can tell, like I was saying in the very beginning of the conversation, like maybe, you always hear the saying, who wears the pants in the relationship, right? And, you have to be on equal ground. It's not about, I'm here and you're here because I take care of the family or anything. No, bullshit. You both take care of the family together. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're on the same level. You're on the same field. Okay. It's not about, a monetary thing. If it's about that, then you got bigger problems than you can imagine. And that's really not what it's all about. It's all about the connection, not the contract.
Yeah. Connection, not the contract. I love that. So, that makes me think about, so when we're talking about, being able to see past people's walls and bring your walls down. I think about this and I want to hear what your opinion is on this, but I think I know. I feel like the most vulnerable space a woman can be in is when she's pregnant. And she is out to here. Her body's totally changed. She's not feeling sexy, not feeling hot, generally speaking, right? Then she bears all to actually deliver that baby. And then some men are now not like they've witnessed their wife give birth. And now they
look. Contract changes is what you're about to say.
What was that?
Attraction changes.
Yeah, they've watched the birth happen, and now they're feeling like they're not attracted to her. Have you ever heard this?
You know what I say to that? You better figure your shit out. You know what I'm saying? Because that woman just gave birth to one of your children. Mm-hmm. The best gift you could ever have, in your life. Our children. And if you don't have children, it doesn't have to be a human being. It could be a pet. You know what I mean? It's the same type of love, right? I mean, let's understand this, right? You get a pet together. You give birth to a pet together. You give the pet a home, the same thing. But you have your children or your pets or whatever, you know what I mean? And you can be like, well, you don't have a dog. You know what I mean? You don't give birth to a cat. You know what I mean? If you really think about it, it's the same thing, because, focus goes on to that part of the being, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And whether, and you can think about physical attraction, right? Of course, a woman's body changes. You don't think they'd want us to have kids instead of them? I mean, seriously, like if we had to give give birth to children, I think, you know, males don't think about this very often, but, you know, what would your body look like? You know what I mean? After you gave birth to a child. You know what I mean? So it shouldn't matter at all. If it does, then those were problems that were before the child started. Before the birth started, I believe.
Yeah, I think that your love changes, and tell me what, from your perspective with this, if I'm right. But for me, when I've seen you, like, we've gone through a lot together. We've gone through job losses on both sides. We've gone through, you know, not having anything to beginning, you know, for our financial situation totally changing. We've moved in stressful situations. We've been a blended family. We've gone through pregnancies. We've gone through a lot of vulnerable situations where we could have, it could have really, really, you know, make or break us. And I think that many times when people are in that vulnerable situation, many times they turn away from their partner to find solace in somebody else. And that is what I see as very, very dangerous. But if you come together and you get completely naked, meaning energetically speaking, right? Bringing down your walls, the love goes to a much deeper level, deeper than that limerence phase. That limerence phase, that Twitter pated being excited about each other, that's great and that's exciting. But when you go to that deeper level, such as us having a baby and you seeing your wife give birth and being in that vulnerable place, and that love going to a much deeper level, then I just feel like there's nothing like that. It's a profound place to go.
Well, kind of going back to the first part of this, what you said about, you know, going to confide in somebody else. Why are you not confiding in to your best friend or, you know, or your spouse or wife? And, you know, people could say to right now on this, listening to this, saying, well, she's never been my best friend. Well, obviously, you know what you need to do. You know what I mean? And why you're in the particular situation that you're in right now, or completely opposite, right? Yeah, it feels great to be able to communicate with somebody that knows me in and out, like we talked about, and been through the hard times and made us stronger together. You know what I mean? That's the most amazing feeling you can have, truly, because you know you have somebody that loves you no matter what. And that feeling is unbelievable. Makes you feel at peace. It makes you feel like you don't have any worries. It makes you feel like nothing else in the world matters. Like you feel like we actually feel, I'll be honest, well, I feel like we're in our own world all the time. Like, you know, people, you know, you hear in passing or we're around other parents that, you know, they're just in a social setting event. You always hear like they want to bring up the latest media news, right? I don't get stuck on it. Do I pay attention? Am I alert? Yeah, absolutely. It's like, of course I read the paper in the morning. In other words, you know, you pick up your phone and you always want to stay sharp, right, of what's going on. You want to make, you know, just like checking the weather. What's the temperature going to be like today, right? Same thing. You always want to know exactly what's going on outside your door. But if you let that take over your mind versus what's the most important thing, which is yourself and obviously your significant other and your family, your bubble, then I think you need to realign yourself.
One thing a lot of people don't realize is that you are a coach. You actually work with a lot of women and you give them advice.
I'm waiting for that one male.
I know. Where's all the men at?
Then I would actually consider myself a coach. I coach a lot of young men. I coach football, Little League football, but I'm waiting for that guy that needs to become vulnerable or has a hard time becoming vulnerable. So if you guys know that person out there, send them to me.
You know what's funny is they got to have a lot of guts, right? It's like they're afraid. I think people are afraid of you, but
Afraid of.
Afraid because they know you're going to tell them the truth, and that takes a lot of guts. And like I said, it's hard for men to be vulnerable, you know. And I'm not stereotyping. I don't mean that like every man won't be vulnerable. But I think
you just need the right person in front of them.
Yeah,
become vulnerable. Somebody they can trust and know that it doesn't go anywhere past the conversations that we have, right? Because, you know, you always hear about the good old saying of like locker room talk or something like that. You know, you feel like there's like this belief in your head as a man, like always going to go off and tell the boys or some crap like that. You know what I mean? You're going to get a label put on you, right? No, man, you just need the right person that can help you and help you open up so you can, you know, be at peace with yourself. Mm-hmm. And make somebody else's life much easier.
Yeah, I actually see you coach a lot of men, a lot of your friends. I've seen so many people come to you, but I know what you mean.
A paying customer.
Yes. No, I get that. I get that. But you've helped so many women understand how men think. And I know not all men are the same way. I get that. But there is a pattern to that men and that male and female and how they generally roll through life. And there really is a lot to that. And so...
Well, I believe the number one killer, and let's just say in the male gene is, well, two of them, pride and ego. If you have too much of that in your DNA, you've got to speak to somebody. Because if you can get that under control and have that in moderation, I'm not saying get rid of it completely, but use it when you need to, of course, right? When you need to, in other words, to check yourself, in other words. But if you don't have that under control, number one, that can be a relationship killer, but not just your significant other, your spouse, you know what I mean? It could burn bridges for you. It's not healthy. It could get you labeled in everybody else's mind that deals with you. You know what, you know, especially on the business side, if you have too much of that, then you definitely need to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I've seen that change a lot with you. I've seen you grow up a lot with your pride and your ego. Like, I feel like, you know, when we met, you and I'll own too, like I had a major chip on my shoulder, right? So I'll say that. And I was really afraid. I was really in that space of trying to control, which I think was on my side the hardest part for you. But
you know, when you're especially when you're in a position of like especially in your business life, a position of authority, you know, like I was for so long, you know, I mean, I was a general manager of car dealerships I had a career in that business for, you know, 20 plus years. A lot of people don't know that, you know, because I just changed careers 4 years ago. But, you know, when you're in that, you know, you're in charge of everything, right? When in your daily life, and then you implement that into your personal life and you have that rollover effect of like, well, no, you're just going to do what I'm going to say. No, you need to talk to somebody. It's not going to work that way. You've got to know when to turn that off. In other words, like when you get home, you're not the boss. You know, and people could say that, you know, you always hear this like, oh, you know, this person wears the pants and the relationship like that. You know, obviously their relationship isn't where it needs to be. They need to talk to somebody, right? Mm-hmm. But if you can train yourself to turn off that switch, I mean, like I had to, you know, with you because I didn't want to jeopardize, you know, the most important thing to me. Then, you know, you've just grown and your life becomes easier.
Yeah. Yeah. The general manager would walk in the door. But you're right, honey. You're right, though, but the things that I've seen that really, really helped with that on your side is also, you know, not only you going, you know what? First of all, you have to want and care enough about your partner to go, okay, I got to look in the mirror and see where I can course correct. I had to do that. You had to do that. We both had to go, I have something that is so valuable to me that I cannot lose because I really, really care.
Yeah. And I've seen people do that too. Just so you know, it's not like I haven't seen anybody, you know, I mean, I'm a product of that. I have somebody that we know that had a course correct and their marriage is better than ever, which, and I was really, really happy to see that. So it is possible. It's just a decision. It's just a decision on how much your situation that you're currently in, your relationship, matters to you. Okay. If it's not healthy, then of course you have to make a change, right? But if it's worth fighting for and it's worth you seeing down the road, visualizing that, hey, I'm going to be with this person the rest of my life, then of course there's your answer right there. You have to course correct. You have to compromise. You have to choose your battles. You know, you have to change. You have to change for the better sake of yourself first. And then obviously your spouse or your partner or, you know, your family, you know what I mean? Sometimes we get a little caught up. I'm not perfect. Especially with the children, you know what I mean? Because you love them so much, but sometimes your love could be misconstrued to them, of how you're conveying your love to them or your spouse or something like that. And if you feel like you're doing right, but you obviously feel by looking at your wife in the face or your children in the face that something's off, there's another sign of how you're conveying your love. You know, I think we both have been through this with our family, you know, as well. My dad works till, you know, all day, all night, and he comes home when he's grumpy and everything should be perfect and everything like that. Like I said, you've got to be able to, right before you walk in that door and you're in your beautiful home, that, hey, okay, those shoes are off now, or that hat's off. Now I'm, you know, the excellent husband and the excellent father. And then, if you need a minute before you walk in your door to remember to take that hat off, so be it. It's better than walking that door with it on. That hat of, you know, hey, I'm the general manager, or I'm the boss. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm the bread maker. So guess what? You should just do whatever I say. It's not right.
Yeah. That's easier said than done. It's hard. It's hard to do, I'm sure.
That's what I'm saying. You need to take a break for a minute. It's kind of like a knee-jerk reaction, right? If you're going to knee-jerk and think that you're at whatever comes out of your mouth, you know, immediately before somebody else finishes their sentence, you know what I mean? If you're that person, you really, really need to talk to somebody. And that's not just saying it coming from my mouth. That'd probably come from like 9 out of 10 people if you asked them. Mm-hmm. That's just facts.
Yeah.
And how you're dealing with yourself and others.
Yeah. With what you mentioned, you know, there's someone, which I'm not exactly sure who you're talking about. I think I know who you're talking about when you say that you've seen, you know, people change and a couple who seems like they're doing better than ever. We've seen that. When we look around, I mean, the thing about you and I is we're very curious people and we're always observing. We love to observe other people and learn from them. And we have seen it go both ways. We've seen some couples that were able to course correct and be vulnerable and really care because of their love for each other, meet each other, compromise, do those things that you're saying. We've also seen people that were so rigid that they were never willing to bend and meet their partner on that bridge. And it was too late, where their spouse ended up going, okay, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. I'm done. I'm leaving. And then them going, wait, 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 I promise I'll change. But by that time, the love had died on the other side because
they're exhausted.
And this person, I know you know who I'm thinking of. She felt like she'd been in prison for so many years. And she was just like, get me the hell out of here. And I mean, both sides, it was, I think, hard. Because, you know, they both needed to kind of meet each other, but sometimes it's too late. And so I think people That's the key. I'm so grateful in my mind when I look at that kind of, those kinds of things. I think, oh, I'm grateful that I did look outside of myself. I was able to look outside of myself and look at you and actually go, okay, what does he need? Because I was so afraid. I was so afraid. And that was the control in me, is that fear. And so I was trying so hard to hang on to things. And I see that with a lot of other couples, that control, that fear that they have, which they're not wanting to compromise because they just are so, they have such, you know, belief that they're right and their partner is wrong. And so.
Yeah. And that can go back to, you know, how they were raised or what they saw in their own homes when they were at their youth, you know what I mean? Or basically the image, you know, the image in their head and how a relationship looks and how, you know, what they saw, you know, like when they were young. But like I said, you can course correct that because those are all learning periods in life, you know, kind of like, you know, everybody goes through, right? Is that what you want? You can ask yourself. Or is that what you want, right? You know, and everybody's like, well, you know, everybody wants the whole Fantasyland, Disneyland freaking relationship. That exists. But I think it's conveyed with the wrong message sometimes. You know what I mean?
Totally. I totally know what you mean. Because that Prince Charming?
Yes.
Honey, if there's a real Prince Charming that acts like the fantasy land, guess what? That computes too for women. They're bored. They wouldn't really like that.
Yeah.
This man who's just like, yes, I'll do whatever you want, right?
You notice, like, here's an example, like, right? Sometimes I open the door for you, sometimes I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is why I do, like, maybe we're in a foreign place, you know what I mean? We're like, versus like going to the grocery store and we both jump out, you know, at the same time, you know what I mean? There's, you know what I mean? And sometimes there's too much expectation, I believe, you know what I mean? Like the fantasy land, like, oh, okay. Like, I have friends that are women that, like, I just want them to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I want him to pull out the red carpet, you know what I mean? Or vice versa. You know, I know guys that, like, well, I want her to be rich and I want her to pull out the red carpet. You know what I mean? It goes both ways, right?
Or I want her to have sex every day, all day long.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Or him vice versa. You know what I mean? To just focus on me, 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 me. But if you really allow that person to focus on themselves first, then they'll love you better. In other words, love others better.
Yeah.
They'll be at peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll be with content with who they are.
Absolutely. Yep. What do you feel like if people are stuck? Okay. Because we see a lot of people that are stuck in their pattern. First off, with you and I, we first had to make that choice, but then there were other things that we did as well that really helped support us in breaking out of that pattern. With you, you did jiu-jitsu, which was, it really, really helped when it comes to ego and pride. That was a big one.
Still do it to this day, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got to have some type of outlet, right? So if you need to exercise, you know what I mean? If you need that alone time to reset yourself, kind of like I'm talking about when you get home from work, before you walk in that door, if you need those minutes by yourself to remind yourself of what you have, then, you know, like myself, like I got to go train. You know what I mean? I have an urgency to go train and be humbled. You know what I mean? Go get beat up by somebody else that's 2 times smaller than me. Yeah, it's humbling. But it's also gratifying too. You know what I mean? Plus I get to maintain my physical health. So it's like killing two birds with one stone, right? I believe everybody needs that outlet. I mean, people read or they crochet, you know what I mean? Or go play pickleball or, you know, whatever they need to do, or go biking or whatever you do. I truly believe you need that time in your life on a daily basis to get all those negative thoughts out of your head, delete that bad data that you have in your head, to make way for the new stuff that's coming in to get you where you want faster. Yeah, you definitely need an outlet to, you know, remind yourself of that special feeling you get when you have those vices. You know what I mean? And vice versa, you could say, well, I'll just drink, you know what I mean? Or do drugs or whatever. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about masking here. Mm-hmm. Talking about, you need to find that one thing that helps you reset your mind and focus and makes you feel refreshed. You know, so if that's working out for you, great. You know, it has to have some type of physical aspect to it. I said crocheting. Yeah, crocheting has a physical aspect to it. It takes focus and it takes concentration, and you're using your body at the same time. You know, I mean, you have to have that in your life. If you don't have it, go find it. Because that's what I truly believe keeps you refreshed and current, with not even your mental health, but your physical health as well. That's the bonus.
Yeah. So if people feel like, this is something I see a lot with couples, that they feel like it's not necessarily so exciting anymore. They've fallen into this trap. Okay. How can they bring that excitement back in? How can they, I get what you're saying as far as working on yourself. That's awesome. But after they do that, how can they start to connect with their spouse or their partner after they have gotten in a trap of not for many years? How can they start to connect?
Well, I truly believe the problem is they're not enough time together. You know, and you can say that, well, I'll go hang out with the boys then. You know what I mean? I'll go over to watch the game over at, you know, my boy's house. You know what I mean? Or time apart is not good. If you have a disconnect, it's time to come back together. And how do you do that? By spending time with one another and having those tough conversations. I'm not saying fights and stuff like that, but I mean the tough conversations of like, hey, what happened? And how can we get back to where we were? You should know your answer by the time you're having done with that question, whether you should be together or not. Okay. If it's real. If it's like, oh, everything's fine, or you know, somebody's oblivious to the situation, then you need to talk to somebody to help you, maybe guide you back to that spot. If it's important enough to do that for, you know, if it's important enough to, you know, hold on to that relationship. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you need a guide like you or myself to help you, you know, see your flaws. Because I think in this society today, people have a tendency to see their own flaws. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They know them, or they're just not willing to change their flaws. If you're not willing to change, and it's going to cost, you know, you're going to pay the ultimate price. In other words, like separate. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously that person doesn't like to be alone. Or if they do, then obviously they shouldn't be together. You know what I mean? But you've just got to really understand what's most important to you. But like I always say, you know, you got to love yourself first and return. That equals into loving others better. You've got to be able to be honest with yourself and understand what your flaws are and be able to, you know, have the willpower to correct those and change those things. Mm-hmm. So you can be in love with yourself and in turn love others better.
What do you think is the most important attribute to have in a relationship? What do you value the most?
Love. I mean, love, and that's just like, you know, love is connection, you know, and you can say, in other words, you can, so many words that come out of that, right? I mean, integrity, friendship, courtesy, you know, modesty, you know what I mean? These are things that we live by, what we have in our academy, our jiu-jitsu academy, things that we live by. But, you know, you've got to have, you know, perseverance. And that's not, you know, you've got to have all these things in line. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your technique, and that can relate, well, we say that, you know, in our school, that can relate to our, you know, our jiu-jitsu, but your technique with yourself and the way you think. You know, that's been another great thing about, you know, becoming a martial artist, is that, you know, you learn to understand that you can't bullshit yourself anymore with who you are, and, you know, being able to identify those problems and correct them. And that's a great challenge. And if you don't have that challenge in your life, go find it. Go find your technique. You know what I mean? If there's something that you really makes you feel like, oh man, I feel great after doing this, go find your technique, but find your technique to always get better and better every single day.
I think a lot of people have that love that you're talking about. They love each other. They love each other, but they also have so much pain. And that's why it's even more painful, because they love each other and they can't leave because they love each other. And they're stuck in this pattern and they don't know what to do. One thing that I see that could really, really be helpful, and this is what we've had to come back to, and that is having fun together. Actually having fun and flirting. Like, there's times when we still flirt. We've been together for 17 years and we still flirt. I'll still send you a flirty text across the, you know, the kids will be there sometimes and I can see your face is serious. You know, maybe you're in it in life. Right. And I'll just send you a little flirty text to be like, hey honey.
Oh yeah. I mean, you need to
have fun with me.
You know, my professor, well, my master, Pedro Sauer, he's always known for this. He's known for saying, keep it playful. Keep it playful. And, you know, I thought that just was just like an attribute to jiu-jitsu, you know what I mean? So you don't get hurt, you know, you don't get too serious. But no, that relates. Keep everything playful. Keep your work playful. You know, keep your marriage playful. Keep your relationship with yourself playful. Keep your relationship with your children playful. You know what I mean? Now, to a degree, you know, sometimes, you know, you've got to, you know, be a father or a mother, but, you know, especially with yourself, keep it playful. Realize how far you've come. You know what I mean? And reward yourself every day with what you got. I mean, I hear people complaining about stuff. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You drive a Tesla. You know what I mean? You have a beautiful home. Beautiful wife, you know what I mean? And beautiful family. And you have a beautiful life. Or she has a beautiful life. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, like, when people start going on that road, when they open up to you, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, really? What are you unsettled about? I mean, so you've got to be able to check your vices. Put everything in check and realize how far you've come, and reward yourself by just taking a minute, looking around and seeing, be thankful for everything you've got.
So I'm sure this is different with different men, right? But what do you think that men really want from women? What do they want?
Oh man, I mean, where do you want me to start? No, I mean, they want to feel security. You know what I mean? That security is truly, I believe, love. You know what I mean? They want to feel loved. They want to feel loved. They want to feel like, hey, everything is solid at all times. I mean, that's just part of being, how should I say it, a man, I guess, right? Like, you don't want to have any insecure feelings about, you know, the other, because, you know, you always hear, you know, towards doubt or anything like that. You want that security of love. You want to know that everything's solid there, because when you know the home is solid, just everything just flows that much easier. And, you know, and that's just like reminders and spending that time in the morning, like we do those coffee connections before you go to work, you know, but being on the same page and communication, like I talked about, and the compromise and picking the battles and all that stuff like that, and keeping it playful. Everything that we've talked about on this podcast, I mean, that's all we need. It's all we need. All we need is that security of love, knowing that, hey, I've got something to look forward to coming home to every single day.
That is such an important thing for women to hear. You know why? Because I used to, and I a lot of women, I believe, have this belief. I used to have it. And that was that for some reason, they don't think that men want the same things that they do. And at the end of the day, we are all human and we all want love. We all want that security, that safety, somebody to build a life with, someone to build a family with, someone to be our team mate. That when life knocks you down, you've got that person that's like, I got you.
Yeah, pick you back up.
I got you, right?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of women think that a man wants, you know, just this beautiful woman that it's all about. They, I hate to say it, but they do think that men really just value that youthful, beautiful woman. And that really has been painted by society, right? That youthful, beautiful woman, like physically attractive woman. And of course you've got to have that attraction. You have to.
Well, yeah, of course, but that's not, I mean, you could take a survey right now and you can ask a guy, any of us, like you can ask 10 guys in your neighborhood or whatever, what's most important. And if you have that one clown that just says, you know what I mean, I want the lips, the tits and all this shit like that, you know what I mean? Then you obviously know where their relationship is before you even ask that question, right? Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. Okay. But no, a man wants to feel secure in the security of love. That's the most important thing. Most important thing, because you become more beautiful to them if you have that to come home to every single day.
Mm-hmm. Well, ladies, you heard it. And Danny's a very manly man. You heard it from him. I love that you said that, because that's really important for women to realize that we actually want the same thing. We do at the end of the day. And most of the time, I think that now there are those narcissistic people out there on both female or men. There are those people out there that are energy vampires that no matter how much you give to them, you will be drained because they are not willing to compromise. They're not willing to move, and they're a shady character. Okay.
Well, they're in it for the wrong reason. Right.
Yeah.
And everybody's seen that. Everybody knows somebody like that, you know, in their life. And if that's how you want it to be, then you see how it's working for them, then I guess that's what you want. But I truly believe in my heart and my soul that all men want the security of love.
So if somebody's with someone that they are like, well, I can't tell if he's one of those guys that really want that security of love, and he's just wounded, or we haven't been able to figure out, you know, come together and really figure things out, or if he's truly a narcissistic jerk, how do you tell who? How do you tell?
Be honest with yourself. You know the answer to the questions, but if you think that, oh, you're working on the hope system that, you know, it's just it's going to change without any communication or any work put in, then you're bullshitting yourself. You're bullshitting. Mm-hmm. But if you know that there's the doors open and the mind's on and they're committed to change, and obviously you go for it, you know what I mean? But why did you get yourself involved with that person in the first place? Obviously for all the wrong reasons.
I think too, it shows up in other areas of their life as well, right? It shows up with their other relationships.
Or how they deal with others. You know what I mean? How they betray themselves with others. You know what I mean? Of course. Of course. I think anybody that has that, you know, that nose is actually working correctly can smell bullshit and see bullshit. Mm-hmm. If they're really, really happy or not. You know what I mean? And you know that. It's kind of like saying, hey, you okay? What's wrong? Nothing. Or, well, I need some help. Being vulnerable, like you said, being able to compromise, pick your battles, security, love, all you need. All you need if you truly want to be happy.
Love it. Thank you for this coffee connection, honey. Thank you for being here with me today and letting people hear our conversations. I want to have you on again. Will you come on again with me?
What are you going to do for me?
You tell me, you answer this question. Who wears the pants in our relationship?
Both of us.
I love it. I was hoping you'd say that.
Hoping?
Oh, I'm kidding. I love it. That's awesome. Yes. I'll figure out something. I'm sure I'll find some way to get you back on here.
Yeah, I got a little window for a little while before practice starts. So
I'll make the bed every day this next week. How's that?
Make the bed like rock and tilt or make the bed?
Oh my gosh. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. So, oh my gosh, I love it. Thank you for everyone. Thank you for listening to this convo today. I am going to have him on here because guess what? One thing I've learned about my husband is I can get what I really want. In fact, I've told him before that I'm going to write a book to men or to women, how to get what you want from your men. Oh my goodness. I love it.
Bestseller.
Well, you're going to help me with it. That's the key. You know, I have my magic, my secret weapon, which is him. He tells me, he helps me understand men. So really good. Okay. Well, that's it. That's all. Thank you, everyone. Any last message to the world, honey? Any last things you want to say before we end?
I can't say this enough. You know, love yourself first, which equates into loving others better. So if you're into that game, just do it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right, everyone. Have a fabulous week and bye for now.
Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.